Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Sunday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. These are challenging times. Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. They're home to yours. The team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Damon Amendolara here over the next hour. We have shepherded you through these Sunday afternoons over the last 3 months or so since the beginning of quarantine. And we appreciate you being with us each and every Sunday throughout all of this. This will be our final show on a Sunday. We will resume our normally scheduled programming here on the weekends, which we kind of took the baton for during quarantine. But now, thankfully, the CBS Sports Radio Network's weekend programming is up and running again. And so back to the regular hosts that have filled these time slots, which is awesome. So hopefully you've enjoyed what we've done here over the last 3 months, and you can continue to listen to us in so many ways. We are on Monday through Friday mornings, weekday mornings right here on the network. Just simply listen to any of your CBS Sports Radio affiliates that carry our show or on Sirius XM channel 206. You can hear us every morning on Sirius XM channel 206. Also on your phone, stream it for free. Use the CBS Sports app, the radio.com app, or Apple Music. And you could also listen to us on demand. You can always listen to us by simply going to tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio in the mornings or in podcast form. Full episodes are available, or the best of the show is available in podcast form as well. Simply search The DA Show on any of your favorite podcast platforms. Remember, we also have a TV simulcast digitally that's available on any device. That could be your phone, that could be your tablet, your laptop, your desktop, if you're working, or also on a smart TV by simply going to watchda.com. Mondays through Fridays, watchda.com. So we are now into the final hour of this show, which provides us an opportunity to do something called the switching hour. We take things in sports and switch them up. Guys, cue the music.
Yo, mic check, mic check. Yeah, here you go.
On Sundays throughout the fall, this is the witching hour.
Between 3 o'clock and 4:30 in the 1 o'clock games is the witching hour. So don't bother me in the witching hour, okay?
Today, it's the switching hour.
3 to 4 is the best time.
So this is normally the early window of the NFL games on a Sunday, and this is the final quarter and a half of many of those games. So things switch up, called the witching hour, but we like to call it the switching hour. So, Mraz, Take it away. What are you switching in the world of sports today?
So something I think in baseball strategy-wise that more managers should look into, and I think specifically now applies to the 60-game season, is the idea that you should be lining up on opening day, slam dunk it with your shutdown ace starter, knowing that he will be going against the other team's slam dunk ace shutdown starter, and take opening day that is now tentatively scheduled between Max Scherzer and Gerrit Cole, for example. If you're the New York Yankees, yeah, you want Gerrit Cole out there. He's your prize free agent. But maybe you know you're going to lose that game to Max Scherzer, or at least think, what are my odds here if I start a Tanaka or something in this spot? I want managers to think a little more outside the box. And in a shortened season, especially where you know every fifth day things aren't going to get off the rails and your aces are probably going to match up with other aces more times than not, I want to hold back my ace to start game two or three and have that avoided, knowing that basically I'm going to get a win every 5 days, knowing my best pitcher is going against somebody else's second or third best pitcher. So I want to change up the idea that aces have to start on opening day, especially in this 60-game season.
So you want the Yankees to take a dive in game number one and set up Gerrit Cole for game number two?
Yes, and I know that doesn't make sense to a lot of people. Go, well, what if you beat Scherzer? Now you're set up the other way. Look, you might beat Scherzer anyway with a Tanaka or a Paxton or something like that, but you know, and this doesn't just apply for the Yankees, this is any team. You know, if your best ace gets the second or third best starter on another team, chances are higher you're going to win that game than if it's ace versus ace. And over 162 games, this kind of injuries happen, off days, things get scattered. 60-game tight season, more times than not this year, it's going to be opening day starter versus opening day starter for every team. I'd like to avoid that if I have a really good ace and want that guy going game two or three to match up versus other teams.
All right, so tell me how, if you're Aaron Boone, you to answer the question, why aren't you starting Gerrit Cole into game number one?
I think the easy answer is this. Look, we have a lot of faith in a lot of our guys. Tanaka's been here a long time. We think he's earned the right to start opening day. We'll get Gerrit in game two. That's the way I would go with it.
Okay, so you would advise him to say, look, we're really punting on game number one. We just want to make sure we win game two.
Basically, because I think it sets forth a better season. I want to know I'm going to definitely win a game every 5 days, and especially in this kind of season, and that gives me my best odds. That's the way I would do it.
Okay. Ryan Hickey is running the controls today for us back at Mission Control. Hickey, what are you switching up today?
Wow, to follow that is going to be tough. I'm going to switch. So the three batter minimum is a rule in baseball in 2020. Instead of that rule, what I would switch is propose a rule where you limit the amount of in-inning pitching changes. So just similar to like the mound visit rule, you can only go to the mound, I think it was a 5 or 6 times a game. Make that the rule instead of a three batter minimum. So you can only do, let's say, 4 in-inning, I guess, in-game pitching changes during the middle of an inning. So that way, there's still strategy involved for the managers. They still can kind of weasel their way in and out of spots if it's, you know, one of the pitchers just doesn't have a need to get them out right away. While still, again, you know, limiting the amount of times where we see reliever coming in, you still speed the game up while also keeping some strategy involved in the game.
Okay, I like this. Yeah, I'm actually a proponent of the three batter rule because I've never liked how managers now use one arm to come in and blow three fastballs by a guy just to get out of an inning or what have you. I like the idea that there's got to be more strategy to it and less pitching changes, and that if a guy gets into adverse situations, that he's got to stick in there, because those tense, tenuous situations in baseball are where baseball's at its most dramatic, is when the pitcher is scuffling on the mat and he's got to figure out a way to get out of it. So I like that idea, Hickey. Good job. For me, it's not something that we're going to switch, but I'm going to get ahead of something here. Oh. With when sports comes back, NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, the inner workings of how this is going to be executed is going to be really unique. And we know this on this side because we're looking at guests and we're looking at media credential access and we're looking at stadium access and things like this. But I think the general fan won't realize just how crazy this is behind the scenes. Like the broadcasters that are in the bubble versus the broadcasters that are outside of the bubble. Or when you go to an arena, like in the NHL, one of these hub cities. My guess is you're going to have players that are totally removed from all of the media. And that the media is going to be asking questions on closed circuit TV and some via the internet. And I just think it's going to be the most unique thing ever because they're going to be trying to keep all these players quarantined. I am saying Let's see that behind the scenes from the television cameras. Let's document that, because to me, that's also a fascinating subplot for the viewer. Let's not act as though everything is normal here. And my guess is when we watch these broadcasts, it's going to seem like, hey, there's nothing to see here. Games are being played, players post-game getting asked questions. Maybe the reporters are 6 feet away. Maybe they'll be getting asked questions on a headset, and the person asking the questions will be courtside or something like that. So they'll figure it out to make it look normal. I don't think it has to look normal. Maybe there's just a kind of a camera that shows behind the scenes just how crazy everything is, maneuvering everything, because our lives right now are dictated and defined by social distancing and trying to be safe and limiting contact. And these leagues are essentially doing this, but with so much stress and urgency on everything. Like, imagine your trip to Target and how much pressure you put on that, but multiply that by 1,000, because these leagues, that trip to Target needs to be executed every single day, multiple times. And if you don't get it right, that the league shuts down or something like that. So camera crews and somebody documenting behind the scenes how they're going to execute this, I would like to see as part of the return of sports. Here is your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. Our friend Landry from Houston hosts on our CBS Sports Radio affiliate there in H-Town, Sports Radio 610, and tweets, wow, Mraz is already scared. Doesn't want Gerrit Cole to start for the Yankees on opening day because they might lose to an ace. Man, y'all sipping this today, DA? Mraz, Astros fans think you're running scared.
I'm not running scared. Think about it. These guys are only going to get 10 to 12 starts this season, these starting pitchers. I want to make sure I'm winning 8 to 10 of those starts if Gerrit Cole's starting. I think it's actually really smart strategy to not have your A, be that one manager that doesn't have your ace start opening day and have him lined up versus all these aces over 60 games.
Are you scared of the Astros?
Scared of the Astros? No, because now they can't cheat. So why would I be scared of them? They have not won anything where they have not been able to cheat, so nobody should be scared of the Astros at all. Absolutely not. Also, well, by the way, DA, no fans? We can hear those garbage cans pretty loudly now, too.
Mike tweets in, DA, just because previous coaches and management have not worked for you doesn't mean go completely off the board and bring in something that has a lower probability of working. It's skewed thinking. Rashid Wallace is absolutely right. Agents like Leon Rose might be the worst person you could hire for a GM job. Yeah, it's kind of amazing because clearly the Knicks saw Rob Pelinka, I guess, working in Los Angeles, if you can call it quote unquote working in Los Angeles, and was like, yeah, let's do that. Let's totally do that. Agent, GM, he could get us LeBron, right? Let's do that. When it's such an oversimplified way of thinking, Rob Pelinka, has he been good as the GM of the Lakers, or did LeBron want to go to the Lakers? You know, it's like Rob Pelinka kind of is able to rest on those laurels, even though I don't think he had anything to do with it. I mean, LeBron wanted to end his career pretty obviously with a big brand, and he got that with the Lakers. I think he also wanted to end probably around Hollywood, where he has his hand in so many picture ideas and video ideas and production companies and movies. He wanted his hand in that. So do you give Rob Pelinka credit for the Lakers, or did LeBron want to go to the Lakers and then AD forced his hand to go to Los Angeles as well? You know, like Pelinka pulled off the deal, but I mean, the Lakers gave up a ton to get AD. Now it's looked like it's worked. But there's the Knicks going, yeah, we should do that. Let's get a guy in here because we want LeBron and AD. It's not really the way that it works. Just hiring an agent doesn't necessarily land you big-time players like that. Chuck tweets in, DA, I might be accused of, quote, being old school, but as for the NBA, no one superstar players above the team as far as team play is concerned. You know, I kind of understand that because I don't think you can do it alone. We've seen LeBron try. We've seen LeBron drag Matthew Dellavedova and Tristan Thompson at his best players to the NBA Finals and ultimately lose to the Warriors. We have seen LeBron drag Booby Gibson and Zydrunas Ilgauskas and Drew Gooden to the NBA Finals and get shattered by the San Antonio Spurs. And LeBron's one of the greatest players ever. But still, when you look at the NBA, you still absolutely have to have the superstar. You can't not. And we all want to point to the 2004 Detroit Pistons, who, without a super-duper star, were able to take out Shaq and Kobe. But that has always been the exception to the rule. Whether it's LeBron, or Steph and Clay, or Kawhi, or Tim Duncan, or Shaq and Kobe, or Kobe and Powell, or the big three in Boston, there's always been superstars on all of the NBA championship teams. Dirk, there's always the superstars. So in the NBA more than anywhere else, yeah, it can't be just a superstar, but just a superstar gets you pretty far, and you can't win without one of those guys. When we come back here on the show on a Sunday edition of the DA Show, we'll get to an epic fail coming up here in about 35 minutes from now. But when we return, do we see a split happening in the NFLPA centered around Tom Brady? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
A no sweat pants at work zone.
I'm a tickle me mirage. Absolutely. I love getting tickled. I really do. I haven't in years. And now that I think about it, it makes me sad. I wish I did get tickled.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Join Michael Breed as he tees off of the top headlines of the world of golf. Watch Course Record with Michael Breed tomorrow, 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, only on the CBS Sports Network. You can listen to the DA Show in podcast form every single day. We post it as soon as the show is over. You can usually catch us weekday mornings here on CBS Sports Radio, 6 until 10 Eastern Time. But if you want to listen in podcast form, find us. Just search the DA Show on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever it is that you get your podcasts. So Tom Brady's been holding informal workouts since he's gotten to Florida after he signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Russell Wilson has done the same thing. We've seen some other players do this in formal workouts since there are no OTAs, no mini camps, no off-season regimens that the teams can meet at their facility. And Demoris Smith, the head of the union, told USA Today, this is not good. Here's the clip.
Those practices are not in the best interest of our of player safety. They're not in the best interest of protecting our players heading into training camp. And I don't think they are in the best interest of us getting through an entire season.
Again, that's Demoris Smith talking about indirectly or directly Tom Brady and some others who have decided to meet during the offseason and work out. And, you know, for Tom Brady, look, this is kind of who he is. This is a prove everybody who thinks I'm done wrong. I'm not going to lose time in sitting around. I'm a doer. I'm ambitious. I'm a go-getter. And this season with the Buccaneers is incredibly important because if I come out and I lay an egg, everybody will laugh and say, see, he's toast. It was a mistake. Just retire. So there's a lot of personal satisfaction, gratification that goes into this upcoming season specifically. And Tom Brady is just not a guy that sits around and plays Xbox for 3 months because of pandemic. It's just not who he is. So I understand and can appreciate. I can appreciate that Tom Brady wants to be proactive here. You know, this is what makes him one of the greats. It is what has always made him one of the greats, that he has an insatiable desire to succeed at all costs, okay? no matter if he won 3 Super Bowls, 4 Super Bowls, 6 Super Bowls, whether he's 30, 35, 40, 42, whether he needs to leave for another team, has no tight ends, has 2 tight ends, has Gronk, has Randy Moss, has no wide receivers, has a new running back, has a new offensive coordinator, whatever. He is constantly, win the AFC East for 15 straight years, doesn't matter, still completely engaged in the process of doing it again. And in some ways, I found this a little horrifying, a little sad, because like, when do you just enjoy what you've done? I mean, I guess what he assumes is that when he retires, he'll have plenty of time to enjoy it. But it's always been a little weird to me that the Patriots can't really fully enjoy having succeeded because it's on to doing it again. Like, what's the point in success if you actually just keep driving through the windows of enjoying the success? I always thought that was a little weird about the Patriots. But in our sports landscape and in our American society, this is oftentimes applauded for their gumption and for their focus and for their commitment. And so, okay, you know, you give Brady credit there. I think where Brady loses people, including myself, is it feels like Brady is totally dismissive of anybody that has ever criticized Brady. And so it comes down in this instance as well, that Brady is so headstrong, he is so convicted in his beliefs, that nobody will ever tell him differently that what you are doing might not be what's best. He is just completely consumed with the idea that he's got it figured out. And so in Brady's mind, he's like, I'm not allowed to be at the facility. I'll work out of my own facility. I can't be around my teammates. I'll bring my teammates to me. I can't go to the Buccaneer Stadium. Well, I'll make my own stadium. You know, in his mind, he's problem solving. But in doing so, there's been this little caution tape like, hey, maybe take it easy here. Hey, maybe don't put this on your show. Maybe don't put this on social media. Don't wear this as a badge of honor. You know, be a little respectful of what people are going through. And he's like, blowing through every caution, every yield sign. Who cares? Floor it. Let's go. And this is where I think DeMaurice Smith is kind of coming from. That Tom Brady feels like he thinks the rules really don't apply because the rules are stupid. I think that's where he's coming, DeMaurice Smith is coming from here. And this is kind of like Deflategate, where Tom Brady didn't ever think it was that big a deal. I mean, the Patriots insisted it was not a big deal. They insisted it never happened, not a big deal, and then tried to smear everybody else into, well, they do it and they did it, and how about this? And like, this has kind of been Brady's thing of, how dare you question me? It's not a big deal. How dare you ask for my phone? I'll smash my phone. How dare you suspend me? I'll appeal a million times. How dare you question it? I'm not wrong. Your rules are stupid. And that's where I think Brady loses some people. Yeah, it's one thing to be proactive, motivated, a workout guy. That's all great. Putting the work in, we can all appreciate that. It's when it comes with the, yeah, and your rules are stupid. That's where Brady walks a fine line of being totally dismissive of anybody that actually dares to question where he's coming from in all of this. I'm a little surprised that DeMaurice Smith would take him on like this. I did not expect him to say something like that, that what Brady's doing is not in the best interests of our players or getting through an entire season. You're not going to get him coming out and firing at Brady, but that's a pretty good rebuke of what Brady is doing. Mraz, were you surprised at all that DeMaurice Smith seemed to speak out against Brady?
I was, because I kind of have always been under the influence, under the impression, I should say, that Tom Brady, no matter what, is the ultimate untouchable of any player from his own Players Association, from the league. You don't touch Tom Brady, and you kind of just, even if you disagree with Tom Brady, maybe you don't even address it. So I, for one, was personally shocked that DeMaurice Smith came out with that.
Now, do you think that that's why
DeMoris has to say that, it's because Brady seems to be flaunting everything, that he's just is going like, none of these rules apply to me. I'm just going to keep doing it.
I think my guess would be that there are several players internally that are still obviously very concerned with what's about to come, training camp, and also probably very concerned that they want to make a paycheck, specifically those guys that aren't multimillionaires, billionaires, big-time franchise quarterbacks at the back of rosters that know, hey, we need to play football because I need to make a living. And they see Tom Brady flaunting that with FDR quotes and basically spitting in the face that Corona could cause anything, especially in Florida right now. And they probably don't want a superstar like Tom Brady getting sick, sending real red flags throughout football on their restart, and then those little guys get screwed. Season doesn't start, they don't get paid. They're probably looking up to their players association going, you're going to stop Tom Brady, he's out of control right now, and we're going to be the ones that hurt. Because ultimately, if something bad happens where there's a wave of big time players that get sick and, you know, forbid very sick, and they did this all pre-training camp and it's not under the NFL's watch, those are the kind of guys that are going to suffer, where Tom Brady will be okay with the money he has.
Yeah, and Brady's also doing this in Florida, where
yes,
everybody
yes.
knows that Florida right now is under siege with a huge spike in positives. And so him kind of disobeying the rules, or him kind of playing by his own rules in the state of Florida, is just a bad look, because it feels like Brady's not taking any of that very seriously.
And again, working out and trying to stay fit and even having your workouts, I think anybody might live with that. It's when you take it to social media and attach it with the fear quote, like, you know, the only thing you have fear is fear itself, doing the old FDR there. And I think to a lot of people who are trying to take precaution, take this seriously, there's a big mask debate in this country right now. That's basically a middle finger at all of that. And that is where it's going to make the NFL players look bad, make his own teammates look bad. And it's, you know, Tom Brady's a role model, and I know it's a dangerous situation to play with NFL players or athletes in general as a role model. It's just top to bottom kind of an ignorant, tone-deaf look. Not kind of, it is, from Tom Brady. And I think the Players Association and the players trying to do the right thing right now acknowledge that and understand that this is a time and place where nobody is above the law, and that's, or the rules, and that's what Tom Brady's trying to flash that he is.
I think so. I think attaching a quote, there's nothing to fear but fear itself, makes it sound like if you are abiding by the rules of the states and shutdowns and quarantines and masks and social distancing, that you are a scared loser. And that's just a really bad message to send across the country right now. You can certainly turn on cable news and go, why are we just fostering fear here? You could certainly ask yourself, boy, have we done a disservice making everybody terrified of going outdoors? You could totally say that. But when you are Tom Brady, and you're essentially saying, if you play it safe here, you're a loser, that's a really dangerous message. It's a really stupid message. And that's what it's like. Tom Brady, he has always hated to be questioned. And is he a nice guy? Yes. Does he seem like a great teammate? Absolutely. But he can be a real stubborn jerk if anybody ever questions or criticizes him. He absolutely cannot, for the life of him, deal with this criticism. He will always turn it around and be like, you're wrong, I'm the best, and I will prove you wrong. I will prove me right. And this is what he's doing here, that to dare question his workouts is to somehow be based in fear. And, you know, there's a line there. It's like, you could be responsible and you can be smart and not be cloaked in fear. And so it's a weird line that he's trying to walk, and DeMoris Smith kind of slapping him on the wrist is probably, like you said, a lot of players behind the scenes going like, why is Brady, so we're not working out because we've been told it's the smart thing to do, and now he's calling us losers out of fear. What's that all about? You know, and that's got to be behind the scenes, the league going, hey, if we have a bunch of positive tests with the Buccaneers, because they're in Florida and they're working out, well, guess what? We're screwed. We can't start the season. So what are you doing, Tom? 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. Mary Ellen is in Virginia here on the phones on CBS Sports Radio. She's got a word from Raz. Hello, Mary Ellen.
Hello. I'm still stuck back on your switching hour.
Yeah, okay.
Raz still has it wrong. He still doesn't get the Nationals. If the Yankees pitcher doesn't face Scherzer, he's going to have to face Strasburg, only the MVP of the World Series. So what do you get there?
Okay. Thanks for the phone call, Mary Ellen. Yeah, you want to take that one, Mraz?
Well, first of all, Mary Ellen was a big caller, DA, to the very long 12-week run of the Pork Store on CBS Sports Radio when it ran overnight. She's a big national fan. And she's wonderful, but boy, you want to talk about the most arrogant baseball fan in the country that calls CBS Sports Radio. It's Mary Ellen with her natitude problem. Okay, yeah, okay. So Garrett Cole doesn't start. Now we're going to be fearing Steven Strasburg. I also said game three. Every team has really good pitchers. That missed the point. If Strasburg was better than Scherzer, he'd be starting game one. He won't be. So you take your chances. I mean, give me a break. What do you want me to do? Now the Nats are going to win every game because they have five great pitchers? I mean, it's just such a clueless, again, Mary Ellen. Whew, she gets under my skin with the national stuff.
So she was a regular on your overnight show, The Pork Store, here on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, during the whole national run, because again, you know, the Pork Store, I think, had less of a tenure than Beauty and the Baker, which is apparently an ABC show that we talk about. Yeah, anytime we followed any playoffs, if I dare didn't start Nationals, she had a problem with me not starting it. If I did start Nationals, I didn't understand the take and I didn't understand the team, and I had to be on my toes at 2 a.m. Eastern for a Mary Ellen call every single weekend during the Nationals run.
When we come back, we've got your epic fail, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio.
Muffins, mornings, mothership.
Dog DA, been a loyal listener since the overnight, my friend. You got me through many a night.
Hey, DA, got the best show around. All day, every day.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Appreciate you being with us on this Sunday. Thanks so much for being here. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current to new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. You can usually catch us at the DA Show weekday mornings here on CBS Sports Radio. This will be our final Sunday show for a while, as we have taken over some weekend programming over the course of the last few months, but now we'll be handing it back to normally regularly scheduled host for their weekend programming here on CBS Sports Radio. I will say, we'll be back doing Sunday Morning Football, which is the show that I host on Sunday mornings throughout football season, 10 until noon Eastern time right here on the network. So hopefully I'll hear from any of you, and you'll be able to check me out on these airwaves as well for Sunday Morning Football, our two-hour excursion through college football and the NFL every single Sunday. We've done it for the last 5 years. We're going into season number 6 this upcoming September. So if you like to listen to us on a Sunday, we'll see you this upcoming football season on a Sunday as well as we normally do. Speaking of a passing in the NFL world, news just came down in the last hour that Joe Bugle, who was the offensive line coach of the Hogs for Washington throughout the 80s, has passed away. He was 80 years old. No cause of death was given. Joe Bugle coached the Washington offensive line throughout the entirety of the 80s and then left to be the Phoenix Cardinals head coach in 1990, was there for 3 seasons, ultimately kind of bounced around the league as an offensive line or offensive coach for many teams, came back to Washington in 04 when Joe Gibbs returned for his second go-round in Washington. But here is what I would say about Joe Bugle's legacy in the NFL. The Hogs are remembered for this incredible consistency and dominance in the trenches for so many years. And maybe their greatest moment was John Riggins' 1982 season and winning the Super Bowl and the Riggins game against the Dolphins and Riggins having 144 yards and the 4th-and-1 touchdown run, which iced it. And that was them really owning the line of scrimmage for a running back, a Hall of Fame running back, and perhaps their greatest moment. And certainly they led the way. They opened up huge lanes for Timmy Smith, a nobody in Super Bowl 22. And he ran for more than 200 yards, set a Super Bowl record. And also Gerald Riggs and Ernest Biner in the next Super Bowl in 1991. I mean, the Hogs were, for running backs, such an incredible gift. But I would also say the legacy of Joe Bugel is that that offensive line deserves so much credit for the quarterback success as well. I think Joe Gibbs gets the credit for the quarterbacks. He was always such a great offensive mind, and Joe Gibbs is in the Hall of Fame, and rightfully so. But when you think about the success so many different quarterbacks had within that organization when Joe Bugel was there, it is incredible. You know, it begins with Joe Theismann at the beginning of the 80s, and they go to back-to-back Super Bowls with that offensive line and Joe Theismann. But then after that, it goes to Jay Schrader. And Jay Schrader leads them to an NFC Championship game. And Jay Schrader was no great shakes. And then they flip over to Doug Williams. And Williams, of course, wins the Super Bowl. Doug Williams in that Super Bowl was impeccable. He was just splendid. But the offensive line was absolutely beautiful as well in front of him. And then Doug Williams gives way to Mark Rypien, and Mark Rypien also wins a Super Bowl. So Joe Bugel's offensive line not only was of the utmost importance for the running backs and for the offense as a whole, but for the quarterback success that Washington had. They didn't have one guy there for a decade. They had a million guys there, and all those guys had success. And so Bugel's run with the Hogs was just nothing short of remarkable. And they have Russ Grimm in the Hall of Fame. Joe Jacoby's been a finalist. Mark May was fantastic. I mean, down the line it goes. Those guys were just great, and Bugel had a huge hand in that. Joe Bugel passing away at the age of 80. The news just coming down to the last hour today. On the phones, Mac is in Houston on Sports Radio 610. What's going on, Mac?
D.A.
How you doing?
Hey, man, how you doing? Long time listener,
good.
First time caller. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Didn't you used to be on late at night sometime? I'm glad I found you again.
Yeah.
Man, you're the
we were
the voice of reason sometimes.
We were doing overnights. Know? Yeah, we were doing overnights and nights for a while, yeah.
You were, well, I digress a little bit. You were talking about Tom Brady earlier, which I don't care about Tom Brady. I really don't. I don't like him very much, nor the Patriots. But I don't disagree with what he's doing. Now, flaunting it in people's faces, I disagree like you. You know, just keep it to yourself. Do what you got to do. You don't have to show everybody, hey, I'm working out, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But he, you know, he's won six Super Bowls. There's a reason for that.
No doubt.
Let me move on from that then, because I, like I said, I cannot stand them. Joe Buell, you were just talking about. Didn't he used to coach the Cardinals for a little bit?
Yeah, he got the coaching job with the Cardinals for like 3 years in the early 90s.
Yeah, and then he did I don't know if he did a decent job or not, but anyways, nonetheless, once again, I'm going to move on to something else. And then Pat Tillman, he played for the Cardinals, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I'll come in full circle. Instead of bitching about Tom Brady, I'm going to praise somebody like Pat Tillman.
Appreciate the phone call, Mac. Thanks so much. Got a break here because we got to get to the epic fail, but I appreciate the phone call. Yeah, you're exactly right. Joe Bugel was the head coach of the Cardinals. He took that job from the Washington offensive line job and was the head coach for the Cardinals, I think, for 3 or 4 years in the early 90s. We'll get to your epic fail right now, and Rasheed Wallace was on CBS Sports Radio, and he said, you know what? The Knicks are still going to be bad, even with Leon Rose as their agent / GM. And so Knicks fans said, yeah, more of the same. It's your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
What's going on, Ryan?
So I'm from New York. I'm 44 years old. I'm a huge Knicks and Rangers fan. And I think that we have to look at the problem being the economic factor of Madison Square Garden, Madison Square Garden being the problem. I mean, they sell out every night, no matter what. It's like going to a Broadway show. We have three championships in the past 80 years. That's ridiculous. No other franchises would survive that. If it was any other cities, they would have moved.
This gentleman and his friends, right, planned to do this.
I just think it's sad that Mr. Dolan treats the fans of the Knicks, who are so passionate and dedicated, with such, you know, aggression and disrespect.
It is the weirdest, most inverse, ridiculous relationship any fan base has with its team. Charlie's in Queens here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Charlie? What's going on?
Because we need a little privacy about my plan to hopefully save the Knicks.
Okay.
Project Kiss Dolan's butt.
Not for nothing, but, you know, I shouldn't have taken the bait.
Okay.
We're going to need a guy to kiss his butt, but at the same time, ignore him as much as possible.
No, you smell butts.
Tell him what he wants to hear and save the Knicks. Try to hire people around him to build proper things where players will want to come back to the Knicks and just keep on telling Dolan.
I will say, you know, we had just lost again.
You're doing a great job. In fact, I could use you to do a couple halftime shows to please our Knicks fans.
We need basically somebody in disguise that knows he's a disaster but keeps telling him how great he is as they actually fix the Knicks.
I think we're going to have a very successful offseason when it comes to free agents.
Yeah, because that's the only way it's going to happen. You need Dolan to believe it's all him.
Well.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Who can you get for that job? Who can you get for the job of the owner that nobody wants to work for? What do you get the owner that has everything except any marbles in his brain or any sense of how to build a winner? What do you get that guy? The Knicks just continue to throw whatever spaghetti they can against the wall and see if this sticks. Hey, how about an agent? Yeah, that's the ticket. Leon Rose, yeah, he'll get us players. Giannis, LeBron, AD, somebody come here and play with us. So that'll do it for our Sunday editions of the DA Show. Mraz, this has been a lot of fun doing the Sunday sixth show of the week, but unfortunately, back down to five starting tomorrow.
Being put back in our place. We're no longer good enough for 6 days. But seriously, it's been awesome, been a lot of fun. Good luck to those guys coming back on the weekends.
No doubt about it. And we've been on WFAN in New York, which has been awesome for both Mraz and I as well, being native New Yorkers. So that's been a lot of fun. Thanks to everybody that's been listening and chiming in, tweeting and calling over the last 3 months and being part of the DA Show here on a Sunday afternoon. Once again, as I mentioned, I'll be back for Sunday morning footballs starting in September, assuming we got football to talk about. But until then, we'll see you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. on the DA Show. Thanks to Mraz and Ryan Hickey and Chris Lopresti. The Mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.